Nah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Al-Bay'r means to buy and sell, while business transactions have rules as well. 10 specifics are defined, conditions we must bear in mind. Options, interest, roots, and fruit, because bad transactions don't compute. Advance payments we pawn and make, collateral debt with loans we take. Our words, our bonds we're bound to keep, a debt transfer when ends don't meet. Patents, copy, residual rights, all help merchants sleep at night. The sharika, or company, a legal business entity of two or more in partnership looking for a profit split. The sharika turn into four, the type of partnership in store, sharecropping, ijara rent, musabaka, and narabet. Al-Hajr means to intercede, protecting rights of those in need. There are two concepts spring from this deed and make it easy to proceed. The ahkam that Al-Hajr needs, wakalatu, the legalities. The adi is a borrowed tool or something you're allowed to use. There are two parts to show concern, both borrower and lender learn. The adi is not legit unless conditions for it fit, and one of them is liable since damages are probable. To take by force something you like or use something you have no right, or not to give right someone's due, is ghasbun if we only knew. The seven ways the law has found, the gossip should be legal bound. Liability to Maksub is due from gossip when they take from you. Shufa'a, a preemptive right to block a sale that we would like. We take wadi'a as a trust, but safekeeping is still a must. Squatters claim land looking dead and thus have rights for overhead. Ju'ala are the wages set to be paid before the sweat dries. If things of value lost are found by luqata, of course. The child supportless in the streets is due protection of laqit. The simple rights we take by force and leave the world with no recourse but to deprave into a sea of thoughtless inhumanity. Islamically declaring itq to free a slave or manumit has three specifics to submit or freedom will not be legit. Who's authorized to authorize? The ways that itq can actualize? No baby mama's right reject, her freedom must be shown respect. The waqfun is a charity, a gift for all humanity. Endowments are the general term with two presenting styles to learn, the general waq for all to use, and hiba, gifts we don't refuse. Wasaya, simply put, are wills, the dead declare they want fulfilled. From one third or a compromise regarding wills, consider five, the necessary elements determining which rulings meant that. The points annulled and validate the normal language in that state. The wealth from wills is not decreed.
The wealth assigned to charity.
Half, one fourth, an eighth, two thirds, one third, one sixth inheritors, each assigned a righteous piece of wealth abandoned by deceased. On seven points, fara'id base, utilize each and every case, the rights and order of the earth and causes of inheritance. Preventive points, if they exist, prohibit some this type of risk. List the male and then female inheritors in full detail. No shareholders, and use the rule of hajib to know who blocks who.
Keep going.
Keep going, but through family law and through legal procedures?
Yes.
Okay. Bismillah. Then family laws and rights will shape the fiqh of slaves along with mates. The structure has three parts, of course, marriage, provisional rights, divorce. Sadaq is paid before nikah, and hardship might just bring hula. Talaq, if a divorce is sought, ila bihar, we must report. Li'an is sworn one after four, then it to count to end it all. With us, radha is still a must, but sadaq then nafakat, just to be just. Al-ta'imma tunes nutritious links, set standards for all food and drink. So let the laws of hunting, slay, the biha slaughter rules be made. Before you think which spouse to pick, make sure you know the family fiqh. Sadaqa, gift out of respect for women at the time they get married, as their lives will change, never ever be the same. Three concepts for groom and bride to plan and actually apply. The rules of how to pay sadaq, like all or half, and who gets stuck, then after wedding walima, then how to live with an-nisa. Make sure these points are in your plan before you seek some daughter's hand. Nikah process for single humans are paired with mates and social unions, so contractors consider five for marriages to actualize. The rulings for the ones involved in looking until doubts dissolve, the contract strict official forms, the classic points we must enjoin, knowledge of that list of women legally who are forbidden, conditions that they set themselves, and defects that are tied to health. Contracts are not deemed authentic if these points are not in content. Say hula and obliterate, undress and nullify the state of marriage for whatever fee or settlement they both agree. Before it can take real effect, 7 conditions must be met. When married heads bang in luck, we yell and start to think, Tolak, learn 6 points before you go. Subhanallah, I didn't know which rulings of divorce would be relevant regarding me. The difference from the sunnah and the bid'ah ways that are haram, the straightforward ways to make talaq than other ways that maybe not. What separates and breaks the pact, the type of talaq you can't take back. How ta'aliqat affect divorce or raj'ah could divert its force. I wish I knew right from the start, it didn't have to be this hard. Ila, an oath of continence from her, he's sworn to abstinence for months on end. No more than 4, then alhamdulillah, he can't do more, he has to choose and can't do both, keep the marriage or the oath, adherence to its only rule with its description as your tool. Whenever a husband swears to the fact that he witnessed his wife in the sexual act or he found a man all alone in his home and away with his wife, he can't condone, he swears to Lian, and the child is rejected, she swears it's a lie and her oath is accepted. 3 regulations regarding Li'an, a warning goes first to both women and men, the hukm of husbands who blatantly claim, accusing their wives of this horrible shame.
Let's pardon for a second. Pull out the text and read it. By reading it on a daily, it will help. Okay? Go ahead.
I'll go grab it.
Okay, while you're grabbing it, who else can read? Abu Sayyid, go ahead, please, if you can read.
Pick up from where he is, or pick up where should I read
from? No, start from the beginning, brother. Start from the beginning. Just read fast.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Al-Bay'u means to buy and sell. Business transactions have rules as well. 10 specifics are defined. Conditions we must bear in mind. Options, interest is roots and fruit, because bad transactions compute advance payments we pawn and make collateral debt with loans we take. Our words, our bonds, we're bound to keep a debt transfer. No meat, patents, copy, residual rights, all help merchants sleep at night. The shady cats are company, a legal business entity with 2 or more in partnership looking for a profit split. Shady cats turn into 4, the type of partnership to store, share crop, and ijar, rent, musabaqah, and not a bet. Al-Hadjid is sent to see, protecting rights of those in need. 2 concepts spring from this deed and make it easy to proceed. The ahkam dar al hajani wakalatu legalities. The adi is a borrowed tool or something you're allowed to use. There are 2 parts to show concern. Both borrower and lender learn the adi is not legit unless conditions forfeit. And one of them are liable since damages are probable. To take by force something you like or use something you have no right or not to use rights one or not to use rights or not to or to take by force something you like or use or to take by force something you like or use something you have no right or not to give rights someone's due is possible. If we only knew the 7 ways the law is found, the ghasib should be legal bound. Liability for maghsub is due from ghasib when they take from you. Shuf'a, a preemptive right to block a sale that we would like. We take wadi'a as a trust, but safekeeping is still a must. Squatters claim lien, looking dead, and thus have rights for overhead. Ju'ala are the wages set to be paid before the sweat dries and things of value lost. I found by Luqata, of course, a child supportless in the streets to do protection of Laqid. The simple rights we take by force and leave the world with no recourse but to deprave into a sea of solace in humanity, Islamically declaring it to free a slave remain has 3 specifics to submit or freedom will not be legit. Who's authorized to authorize the ways that it's connectualized? No way, no baby mama's right reject. Her freedom must be shown respect. A waqfun is a charity or gift for all humanity. Endowment is the general term with 2 presenting styles to learn. The general waqf for all to use. And hibba gifts we don't refuse. Wasaya simply put our wills. The dead declared they want fulfilled from 1/3 or a compromise regarding rules. Regarding wills, consider 5 the necessary elements determining which ruling is meant. The points annul and validate the normal language in that state. The wealth of wills is not decreed from wealth assigned to charities. 1/2, 1/4, 1/8, 2/3. 1/3 of 6 inheritors are each assigned a righteous piece of wealth abandoned by deceased. From 7 points, fara'id based utilization every clay. utilize each and every case, the rights and order of the earth, and causes of inheritance, preventive points of they exist, prohibit some this type of risk, list the male and then female, inheritors in full detail, know shareholders and know the rule of Hajib to know who blocks who. I'm going to keep going on.
Yes, of course. Keep going.
Sadaqa, give out of respect for women at the time they get married, as the lives will change, never ever be the same. Three concepts for groom and bride to plan and actually apply the rules of how to pay Sadaqa. Like all that happened, who gets stuck?
I made a mistake. I should have told you to stop. I'm sorry. Bismillah. Stop. Go ahead, Tyler Boyd. Complete where you left off by reading. Jazakallah khair, Abu Sa'id.
Behear Allah, the Great Most High, declared to be an open lie the husband's claim about his wife backsides an inspiring life. Her butt, he says, is like his mother's, not affecting him like others. Two essentials are its norm. The first is its illegal form. The second laws to compensate guidance for those who regret their mistake. Whenever a husband swears to the fact that he witnessed his wife in the sexual act or found a man all alone in his home in a way with his wife, he can't condone. He swears to Lian and her child is rejected. She swears it's a lie and her oath is accepted. Three regulations regarding Lian. A warning goes first to both woman and man. The hukmu of husbands who blatantly claim accusing their wives of this horrible shame. Conditions of Lian are simply three and four. Results have been decreed. The iddah is a weighted term, probation and a chance to learn if married folks will separate, make up, or appreciate each other when there's just two sides to iddah, so we must abide by its description as the basis for six different cases. A woman came and said, behold, Rudha has 3 points, weren't you told? I bless him. No fears, Rudha, within the first 2 years, make him my child, if only five. My husband's milk helped him survive. This will be believed. Woman's burden, all we need. All his wealth we spend on food, some clothing, as in family, that is for nothing more. Halal luxury, since Islamic laws on what to eat, what's halal and what's haram, specifics for tom, since food is eaten every day, these rulings should have daily say. On your incomplete conditions at the
I can't hear you. I lost your voice.
You found from only hunters of the book and Muslims is
same here.
Okay, hold on, just 1 second. Can you hear me now?
Yes, hello? I can hear you.
Is this better?
Yes. Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. Great. As you track that wild beast down and slaughter it or send the hound or bird to bring it to the ground, the site conditions must be found from only hunters of the book and Muslims is halal to cook or animals you trust and train and send out with that goal and aim. A besmela was also made as you release to kill the site. At legal procedures, we report the fiqh of the slave as he deals with the court, the laws of jinayat, applying the hudud, the steps that we take when diyat is pursued. The ayman is sworn, shahada is seen, qadar is a judgment.
Let me stop you there. Okay. Mr. Ayyubi, go ahead, please.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Jinayat are crimes that cause physical harm, the homicidal death of a nafs al-haram, manslaughter, murder, and the definitions, the types of qisas and the many conditions. Qisas for deceased and then from the for the maimed. When that has been met, application remains under conditions for chapters complete, our life, our blood, and our sanctity keep. When talk begins about hudud, serious becomes the mood. Capital punishment for the crimes despised in every place and time are nine, with villains to pursue and capture. So let's all review. The ones who will receive the head, the zani caught inside the bed, the qadif who should not have spoke, or drug addicts who drink or smoke. Ta'zir is for a range of crimes like disobedience and lies. The sadiq and qutat tariq are thieves and gangsters of the street. Murtad, bughat, refusing intervention. Murtad, rebel, comprehension. First give proofs and to reflect, they still refuse and chop the neck. The rules of compensation, loss, and damage are diyat, and they apply in all respects to man and muslimat. Three headings cover details, so none can be extreme. The prices of diyat explained for muslimin. The aqilla is to provide an unintended homicide, but kafara remains a fine upon the one who did the crime. With right hand raised, our word will swear upon Allah, but we don't care. I swear, a man is built on three, the oath and his kafara T, rulings based on how we've sworn the types of nadr and their forms. Shahada is to testify, to state the truth and not to lie. Within five parts, these issues flow about shahada we should know, whose word when spoken to us accept, and witnesses we must reject. The types of witnessing we do, shahada on shahada too, the oath we make for what we claim is testifying just the same. The process of adjudication is qadha in application. Four divisions clearly set the subject guideline to be met. Manners every judge must care to learn, perfect, apply, and bear. The system and technique in place to govern how to hear a case. Divisions made through qasamat, the da'is claim, and bayinat. The shahid says that someone else owes someone else beside himself. The da'i claims that someone else has rights that he deserves himself. Muqir reports about himself what he must give to someone else. 5 points to name and keep in view. The choices of mukallafun. No children are allowed iqrar without permission from tujjar. But sick perform iqrar at will and take shahada up until the moment that they lose their souls, if in fact that was their goal, with words that show a clean resolve intended for Allah above. Jihad is a ruling that a mufti must make, not any old scholar with normal mistakes, nor students familiar with basics in fiqh, but not yet Quran nor the Arabic. If hadith, usul, and histories remain partially clouded in mysteries, refrain him from speech, for what can he teach? To have little knowledge and teach is to cheat. Go back to the graph and the knowledge within the 38 chapters to finish, begin. Start with aqidah to end in jihad, struggling to live as the righteous ibad.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Barakallahu feekum. Okay, Mr. Tyler Boyd, now we can go back to the chapter that we were doing. And give it to us, please, where we were at. We were in the comment on, I'm sorry, it's called, trying to pull up this is summary of Islamic jurisprudence. What page are we on?
We are on chapter 17, which is page number 89 of the book and page number 106 of the PDF.
Okay, go ahead, please.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Chapter 17, Interdiction. Islam has been ordered to protect the properties and rights of people. Therefore, interdiction has been legalized on ones who should be prevented from disposing of their properties. Jurisprudentially speaking, interdiction means preventing someone from disposing of his property. What proves that interdiction is legalized is that Allah, exalted be He, says in the Noble Quran what may mean, and do not give the weak-minded your property, which Allah has made a means of sustenance for you, but provide for them with it and clothe them and speak to them words of appropriate kindness, and test the orphans in their abilities until they reach marriageable age. Then if you perceive in them sound judgment, release their property to them. Quran, Surah An-Nisa, Ayat 5 and 6.
Okay, let's stop for a second. Here, we're talking about the ability of a person who has now been given the authority by Allah to hold or withhold the people under his authority's wealth, or wealth that he has been given authority to use on their behalf. This includes welfare, food stamps, and the things, any gifts given to or awarded to his children. Does that make sense, everyone?
Yes, Jay.
Now, it's a beautiful thing here, yes, that Allah said, and do not give, and the translation here is the weak-minded. Another translation is feeble-minded. You know, your property. So even now he says your property. Now this is regarding the wealth that Allah has given you to as rizq. And now you're going to spend this money on your family, because it's talking about women and children. Now, some people may get offended by this, because he says, and he translated here, weak-minded. This is because Ibn Taymiyyah, and I don't have to use Ibn Taymiyyah all the time, but there's so much has been recorded on him. We point back to those things because we have access to him. He's not the only one that said this. But in defining this term of weak-minded, he said why women and children are referred to here is because the men are in a daily economic struggle with kufr. Whenever the men leave the house, your ethnicity makes a difference. Your religion makes a difference. Your political stance makes a difference with regards to how you can interact in that society. Women and children don't necessarily notice this day-to-day sensitive issue that men have to go through every time they leave the house. Okay? So they see what's on TV. They hear what's on the radio. They believe in the mentality that whoever's in charge must be right. Whoever's in charge is definitely stronger. And so for this reason, we find split homes. Whereas the father, husband, has one mentality, and the wife and children have another. And it's almost as though there is the ongoing civil war inside the home. And so a lot of times we find those women and children trying to convince the father to change his stubborn, non-working ways and get with the program. Okay? But Allah has given the men the upper hand here, and he supported them by saying, do not give these weak-minded. Here we mean naive. Okay? What we also mean is sometimes we find some women, especially women who are from countries outside of the West, when they marry men that are from the West, sometimes they think those men have bottomless pits as money in their pocket. There's always more money. You're from the West, of course.
Some Americans, too.
I was going to say, I said mostly. Doesn't mean that you find the same thing happening with people coming from the South going to the North. There's this misnomer in lots of societies. Those from the cities are wealthier than those from the countrysides. Those from they call it the grass is always greener on the other side. Okay? This is the mentality that people have. So they don't understand all the things that the men have to go through. So for this reason, they're considered weak-minded. Or some of the things they want to purchase. You'll find women want to purchase some very useless things. Okay? Especially when there are more important foundational things that have to be purchased. Allah is supporting the men's decision by saying, don't give them your money. Don't support them. Sometimes men give up and say, okay, just take it. Go ahead. And then he tries to figure out how he's going to work it out and make it up sometime later. No. Allah is telling you, hold your ground. Don't give them the wealth that Allah has given you as a means of subsistence for you. Not just for you, but for you. You are the representative of the family, and the family represents you. But rather, take your wealth and provide for them with it in the best way that you see fit and clothe them. And at the same time, don't call them dumbasses. Don't call them dummies, idiots, you don't understand. No. And still speak to them with kind words of appropriate kindness. Listen to that language, guys. Because kindness is represented and shown differently based on the circumstances. Okay? Sometimes appropriate kindness is not to say anything but just to smile, you know, gently, and go on about your business. So Allah is teaching us a few things here. Number one, don't give them your wealth if they don't know how to spend it properly. And we're going to say here, he says, test them. Here when it says the orphans,
The tafsir includes wives and children. So you don't give them the wealth off the rip. You don't give them nothing. You don't give them a penny. But you test them. You get married to a woman. You don't just trust her. Well, I was telling you, don't trust her. Test her. Give her some money to go take care of something and see how she spends it. Same thing with your children. As they get older, test them. Give them some wealth. Say, hey, son, here's some wealth. Let's see what you do with it in a month. Right? And see what he does. Of course, you should, at the same time, prior to that, should be teaching them, by example, how you want them to go about in spending or how you go about spending money. Ideas that you have for them and for yourselves. And then again, test them in their ability to manage the money. And you do this with your children, not just the orphans, because you don't have orphans all the time. It's for all the people under your auspice, under your authority. You test them, the girls and the boys, until they reach the age of marriage. You see that? Until they reach the age of marriage, you continually test them. And it doesn't mean stop testing them when they reach the age of marriage. It means test them before they get to the age of marriage. You don't build your shield on the battlefield. You don't wait till they're old enough to get married to teach them about marriage. You understand, guys? You're supposed to be ready before you have to go. Not as you're going, you're getting dressed. Not on the way, you're preparing. No. The preparation is from the word pre, which means beforehand. And this is a very big problem in parenting. We say we forget we're not raising them to be children. Okay? We're raising them to be adults. And the purpose of education is to enable the child to get along without the parent. The same thing is with your wife. You should be educating her and training her. Training comes before education. And testing her to be able to get along in your absence. When you're not at home. When you're at work. And when you're dead. And we see this acted out in the wife of Imran in Surah Ali Imran. When he passed away, Prophet Imran passed away, what did his wife do? She continued his mission. She continued the mission that he was on without hesitation or drop. And she prepared Maryam for the job that she was supposed to do. This is the fulfillment. This is why she's mentioned in the Quran of such a perfect mother wife. Okay? So, we're told first and foremost, don't waste your money. Don't follow foolishness when you see it to be foolishness. Weak-minded ideas when you know that they're not proper. But rather, take the money and do what you know you're supposed to do with it, which is provide for them and clothe them. Sometimes men are asking their wives, well, what do you think about this? Is this good enough and that good enough? You shouldn't do it. You should know what the standard is. Okay? And you know the standard by dealing with talking to older men who know the standard. Okay? And then you live up to that standard. You provide that standard. If you needed a woman's opinion, you go to your mother. You go to your older sister, your aunts. And they help you understand what it is. And then you provide that for your family and you expect them to appreciate it. And if they don't, then you try to train and teach them to appreciate these things. Okay? And you clothe them. And you speak to them in the appropriate kindness that is due based on the circumstances. And you don't look sideways. You don't worry about anything else if they don't agree or anything like that. All right. And again, with regards to them, they gain your trust through you testing and seeing them live up to it and apply the lessons of life and how to spend well, like you know, through testing. So you watch them and see what they do. And when they reach the age of marriage, then you marry them off. You don't marry girls off who are not ready. And if they can't act right in your home, she's not going to act right in someone else's. Her first relationship with a man is that between her and her father. Second is going to be with her and her brothers. Okay? Then the greater community, which should be very limited, and then her husband. So you have to test these people in that regard. And then if you perceive in them sound judgment. Now, it says now when you can notice that they have reached a place where they have sound judgment with the wealth, then you give them money. Then you give it to them. Let's say, for example, in my case, my grandfather was wealthy. So he left behind, for me and all my brothers and cousins, he left us money. When we were small, this was under the authority of my father. When we got to a certain age, my father took me to the bank and said, here. And he made me sign some papers, you know, and everything. It was a little process. Now, this is how much money you have in the bank, he shows me. Right? And alhamdulillah, he's not Muslim, but he detested me. Here, take this money. What you going to do? You get my point? And I wasted that money. Then I came back, he came back to me, or I came back to him, and he said, after a little while, what'd you do with that money? I said, well, it's all gone. It's all gone already? Oh, you big dummy, he says. Now, that was a kind, appropriate word. That wasn't considered rude in our day. You know, parents did that, fathers did that, and I didn't think it was rude. I thought it was my middle name. So, you know, he then took me back to the bank, and said, here is the rest of your money. Okay? I knew you were going to waste some of the money. So I made sure I didn't give it all to you at one time. And now I appreciated the money more because I saw how fast it went out of my hands. Do you understand? So he used what he considered his wisdom in order to teach me a particular lesson of how to use wealth. We too, as adult men, fathers, have to think of ways that are appropriate for our children and our wives. How are we going to teach them the importance of wealth? And if they don't know it and they've never reached sound judgment, then we never give it to them. Does that make sense, everyone?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I have a question.
Ask. Ask.
Sometimes I hear in these people, like different communities, the tongues of some wives saying that the wealth of the husband, my money is your money, and your money is my money, and my money is my money. Have you ever heard this
Of course I have. Of course, it's a true statement, but not in practice the way they want it to sound, okay? What is actually meant by this statement is that, okay, let me go back a little bit. The African American community in the United States are refugees for the most part, meaning most of the people in New York and in New Jersey and in Boston. Most of those African-American families come from the South. Let's say Georgia, North Carolina, Florida, South Carolina. Most of the Africans in Chicago come from Alabama and Mississippi. And most of those that come from the West are really from Louisiana and Arkansas and Texas. They're refugees. They've gone to those, their grandparents went to those places. When their grandparents went there, normally the father worked and the mother, she was a house mother. And if she did anything, it was like a little hustle. Maybe she made pies or cakes. Maybe she babysat a little bit. But it was a very feminine-oriented job. And during those times, we're talking about 30s and 40s, one man's income could provide for a whole family. Okay? And any money the woman made was a little extra. She used that money to spruce up the house, buy curtains, buy an extra, make it look nice. And people were patient with that. Then came my parents' generation. Now, this, so just talking from an African-American perspective, now there's the end. Once they became adults, there was the end of segregation and now integration. When integration came, one of the things that changed was the single man household. Now women were entering into the workforce just as equally as men. And the cost of living went up tremendously because now everyone was trying to live better than their grandparents, than their parents. So we have people like my parents who are now in their mid-80s. Their whole marriage, they've gone what we call Dutch. Dutch is when you go out on a date and the guy and the girl pay. Guy pays for what he eats, the girl pays for what she eats. That's called going Dutch. Usually you do that when it's not your girlfriend. You know, in the days of Kufr, Jahiliyyah, you know, we know dating is haram, but from the culture in the United States, dating is such a normal thing. There are rules to it. If a man asks a girl out, he or young lady out, he has to pay for everything. Her travel, her food, and his food, and whatever entertainment they go to. Unless they're going Dutch, which means it's not a boyfriend-girlfriend thing. It's just a what they call a friendly thing, right? So both pay for each other. The marriages of the 60s and the 70s were Dutch marriages. And now this is no longer an African-American story. This becomes a United States story. Okay? Mainly only the United States. White, black, Latino, whatever it was, everybody's family started going Dutch now. Meaning the man was working and making a living, and the woman was working, making a living. They were putting their money together, pooling it together, and providing for the home and all the expenses of the home. This never decreased the man's authority in the home that they were doing this. The women in the 60s and the 70s never threw it in their man's face that they were working too. In fact, there were commercials that promoted it saying, I can bring home the bacon, fry it up in a pan, and never ever make you forget you're a man. I'm a woman. Da, da, da. This was a commercial in the 70s. I remember it. It came on so much, I've still memorized it, right? And it was promoting that women were going out in the workforce, but it was also saying, hey, you're still women. And then the 80s, the late 70s and the 80s came, and it was like, hey, you women are stupid. You're going to work and you're still coming home and still having to work. And this female, you know, revolution against, what do you call it, womanhood came about. Okay? To some degree, they're correct. She was a woman that she had to leave and go work, make less than men in the same jobs. But she was expected to come home and still be a woman. And women thought this was unfair. But they couldn't reconcile to the fact that they wanted to go out and work to some degree because they were no longer happy with the single man income. Okay? So they wanted it both ways. They wanted the freedom to go out of the house and work, and they wanted the privilege of now keeping that money to themselves, but living as though there was a double income. Does that make sense, what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Islam became orthodox in the United States. Now, orthodox Islam did not come in the United States until the late 80s. Prior to that, it was all some built-up cult, built on the shoulders of particular cults. Yes, there were some fundamental Muslims in this place and that place, but on a whole, the United States was not Orthodox Muslim, okay? And it was not open. Those the foreigners who were from other countries who were living in the United States, they were not open with their Islam. They were cowardly, scared. First ones to come open with their Islam, with the African-American Latino community, then the white community who were part of them. Then once those three American groups started to show their Islam with Kufis and Dashikis and things like that, then the Arabs and the Persians and the Chinese and the Asians started to show that they were Muslim too. They stepped on our shoulders, so to speak. Okay? And, you know, that became a norm. Now, because that group that I mentioned, the Asians and the foreigners and the immigrant population, were more college educated, they were able to maintain traditional families, whereas the Americans, what I'm going to call the Native Americans, were not. Okay, and that's because American policy is anti-Native American. They don't make jobs for white people. They don't make jobs for Latino Americans. They don't make jobs for African Americans. Rather, they set their whole workforce up to support the immigrants coming in the country. This is why when you go to New York, almost all the cabbies are immigrants. Why aren't there any Native American cab drivers? You ever think about that? Why is it that all the guys that are
speaking blacks?
Sorry?
I noticed that.
Yeah. Why is it all the guys are selling francs and peanuts, and why not get no American guys selling that stuff? Right? Why are they on the unemployment line? Why are they out there selling crack? Why are they out there hustling? Why can't they get? Why are all the 7-Elevens mostly Indians? Because there's a program to give them that business. You're telling me Americans can't get that job? No, Americans can't get that loan. That's a loan specified for the Indian population. So that's why all across America, 7-Elevens are mostly run by this Indian group of people. Okay? It's designed that way. And so the ones that had the hardest time were those Native American Muslims who are now trying to live the ideal way of the man working and the woman staying out of the workforce, because they recognize zina and they recognize the removal of shyness from the woman when she's outside the house. They're striving to do this, but the women on their side, they still have this Western, weak-minded, naive mentality that I want it all. I still want to live like the Joneses. You still have to provide for me with this double income, even though you're a single person. Okay? And if you don't, you're not giving me my rights. If I have to get welfare or food stamps or any type of assistance, you're a punk. You're less than a man, which is not true. Most of the immigrants are getting welfare or some type of financial assistance from the government, if not all of them. Okay? A lot of the farmers are getting welfare. Okay? And these things, it's only those of us who do not understand the system of destabilization. Okay? So they destabilize the natives to keep them in check. And they use the immigrants because they know the immigrants are afraid to lose their right to remain. So they're not going to get out of line. They're going to go with whatever you say, as long as we can stay and make some money to send home to our families. This is called destabilization. So they use it against other countries, and they use it on their country as well. This is the underlining reason why there is a sense of entitlement from the women and children, and a sense of mutiny from the husband as he relates to them, and misunderstanding. And so the men have to, in order to survive, you know, work extra hard and find ways to provide and be wise enough to live within their means and be wise enough and frugal enough to try to their very best to articulate these ideas to their families and hope and pray that their woman agrees and accepts. Otherwise, he's going to be living with this wife who's like a teenager, feeling she's putting up with less than what she's due. And there's always going to be a sense of entitlement and expectations not being met. And so we go back to the statement, your money is my money, meaning the money you earn is to provide for you and me. But my money is my right. And I'm not obliged to spend it on you. And she's right. But she's stupid if she follows that. She is not understanding the world if she follows that in this day and time, and her family needs it. Because she might as well poke her own eyes out.
Okay? Here, this man is dying to provide for you, literally doing whatever he can to provide for you, and you don't want to share what little you have to the pot? Or you want to hold it over his head like that? No. A man should get a grateful wife, and he should leave an ungrateful wife. He can stick with an disobedient wife quicker than he can stick with an ungrateful wife. And this is advice that we've been given by our woman scholars. And one of them told us that is because you can affect a disobedient woman as long as she has gratitude. You can stop being nice, and she would appreciate that. She's not saying she would like it. Appreciate doesn't mean you like it. Appreciate it means you understand the worth of it. She will appreciate the fact that you're being nice. She will appreciate the fact when you're not being nice. It didn't say be mean. The absence of being nice does not mean you're being mean. You're just not giving the niceties. You're not giving the extras. And if you held those things back and she appreciated that, it would affect her. And she would say, okay, why isn't he being nice to me? Why isn't he being, you know, extra with me? But if she doesn't appreciate you, she has no gratitude. There's nothing you can do. She won't appreciate you being kind, and she won't appreciate you not being kind because she doesn't appreciate anything. You get my point?
No.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
This week, men have to stop being so emotionally based in their decisions. If you read the marital advertisements of the 1800s and the early 1900s, it was very businesslike. I'm talking about the white American men, who, because they were the only ones that used to do this. The black and the Latino community didn't do this. But the white Americans used to put in advertisements in the newspaper for women. Okay? Hey, I'm looking for a wife. You know, rude ladies need not apply. I mean, stuff like that. You know, I'm looking for a woman at this age. She has to know how to cook. And you would think she was looking for a maid. You know, because the requirements were straightforward. And there's nothing wrong with what they said, but they're very straightforward in what the relationship is going to be like. They would describe themselves, their income, and what they were looking for. Nobody need apply if you can't fulfill my conditions. And that worked. But now these women and the men are so sexually weak, so emotionally effeminate. I'm talking about the men now, not mentioning the women. The men. That their decisions are based mainly on emotion and not on their own good. So you're marrying a woman who's not even committing herself to you. What a dummy you are. You might as well just shoot yourself in the foot. Because a real man understands that a man can only go as far, meaning he can only succeed as far as his wife will let him. If the wife is all about me, her everything is all about me, her conversation's all about me. What are you doing with me? You're doing me, hello, me, me. He can't go nowhere. She's too needy. She needs to go back to her mother because she's not finished growing up. Okay? And she doesn't know what it means to be a woman. That a man can need. And that man needs to realize that. If he is so emotionally based with that woman, so attached to her, so closed up and as they say, pee-pee whipped, that all he can separate, that he is a weak man. And he's not going anywhere. It's a job. It's a role. Allah's messenger said, if Allah puts love between you, then that's great. If he doesn't, then he has taqwa. And he gives her her rights. And he's kind with her. But I'm in love. I'm in and it's like this. That's not, ma'am. You can be in love. Don't get me wrong. That's a beautiful thing. I love both my wives. But it didn't start off that way. Okay? They earned my love. My love is not cheap. My love is not unconditional.
My love is conditional. And they've met my conditions. And as soon as they start breaking my conditions, I remind them of where the line is. I'm not going to let anyone, especially my wives, break my sense of worth and my aspirations for me and my family as I go and die. Okay? Because we're moving towards death. You can never succeed in whatever you wish to succeed in if you don't have the support of your wife. And if she does not believe in your idea, and if she's not working towards your goal, then you are a dummy for keeping her. Does that make sense, man?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And once you, and this is the natural thing about women, oxymoronic as it may sound, when in most cases they see that you are driven by something besides your pee-pee or theirs, they respect you more. When they see that you don't mind making them uncomfortable to draw the line and say, hey, look, these are my demands. These are my conditions. This is my living standard. You will adhere to it. Okay? We're not threatening. We're stating facts. And then you leave. You go about your business. Yeah, she's going to be uncomfortable for a few minutes. And then she's going to make a choice because women are much more pragmatic than men. What am I going to do here? And she's going to adjust. She may throw a pissy fit, but that's why you're kind. You just be patient, but you keep working towards your goal. And your goal shouldn't be to placate this grown woman. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Women have other responsibilities. For example, I see many women, you asked me the question the other day about childbearing and raising, child rearing.
Yes, sir.
And the problem is, sadly, most women, when they're getting married these days, cannot even draw a picture of their own vagina. If they were to sit down and draw a medically accurate picture of their own vagina, they wouldn't be able to do it. Yet they think that is such an important aspect of their life. Yet they haven't even taken enough time to learn about it. So if they can't even draw a picture of it, do they know how it operates? You get my point? Most of these women, when they talk about, I want to have babies, if you ask them the process, the 9 months process of what goes on, this is their bodies. They can't tell you in a competent manner. I'm not talking about people with mothers after some years. I'm talking about the ones who are one baby or less mothers. They can't even tell you the process. Okay? If you ask these ladies who are raising these babies, have you studied and found out what is happening with this child psychologically and physically during this first year, second year, third year, fourth year, whatsoever, and what its needs are and how to train, educate this creature, they will tell you no. But my girlfriend said, my cousin, my aunt, my friend, nothing established. What is the point? Is this to bash women? No. For you, the director, get you some business, shorty. Instead of sitting here worrying me to death, worrying me, go sit down someplace and learn about yourself. Learn what you're supposed to be doing with your own health. Because a lot of women, because they don't understand about their how their reproductive life directly affects their physical health, they're sick. They're not working out. They have sicknesses that go occult because they don't work out. They don't even exercise, a lot of our women. And they think that they're okay with that. Oh, it's too manly. No, it's smart. But men are not directing them to this and giving them the time to do it and demanding that they do it. So they make excuses. Oh, it's because I had babies. So what? You had babies. Doesn't mean you become dumpy. It's not true. Work. Work out. That's what it's called. Sweat. And then give them some education in that so they're not just doing one thing, like just jogging or something. No, there's five aspects of exercise. Strengthening, there's cardio, there's, you know, what do you call it, calisthenics, there's stretches, and, you know, there's balance. All these have to be done. And you have to give the woman time to do that. You have a child? What is that child supposed to be doing at this particular age? If she can't tell you, you need to sit her down and teach her or provide her with the place where she can get the education. The internet and these phones have a lot of that information right there. But a lot of the men allow their women to get on TikTok and whatever the thing is called and look at whatever they want to look at, as opposed to that which would increase their education and their ability to fulfill their role as mothers and wives. And that is the men's fault. Marriage is a process of life. It is a business. There are roles. And if those things aren't being fulfilled, then the marriage is failing. Okay? It's dysfunctional. Even if you stay married. Staying married does not mean you have a functional marriage. You're just dysfunctionally married. So, you know, when we talk about this interdiction and the knowledge and the common, not the common sense, the sound reason and sound judgment that the person is supposed to have, it includes everything that I have just spoken about here. And it is the man's obligation to understand these things and to set up the situation in his home that breeds it. Now, I'm saying it in a strong way because there's only men in the class today. This doesn't mean that you roar. You finesse this situation from the beginning. You find a beautiful way to present it, but it's your bottom line, guys. Okay? That's what I'm trying to make clear to you. It's your bottom line. And if you stick to your bottom line, in the future, your wife, you will have the best wife that you can have. Okay? That you can get from her. You have to now accept her limits. Because there's different limits in physical ability, there's different limits in intellectual ability, and you have to know your spouse and figure out where that ends for them, and you're going to be kind enough to accept them doing their level best. But alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed you with ta'addud, which you can't get from her, and you still physically and mentally and spiritually need, you can get from another wife, if you're wise enough to look for those things in another wife. And also, there's an important aspect that I mentioned and I want to reiterate so that you understand it, and allow her time to do that. I have been married since, I think, 1999. No, I'm 89, okay, or 90. One of the two, I can't remember exactly. Okay, there's not been a moment in my life where I haven't been married since 1989. And I have been in ta'addud for over 25 years. Okay, I've been with two wives at least for 25 years. One of the things that I have learned is that in order to have a successful, healthy wife, you have to leave her alone to have the time to do the things that she needs to do to, you know, like for time for exercise. You have to give her that time and leave her alone. But that should be easy for you once you realize now that gives you time to go study yourself. Go read, go take a nap, go exercise, go fix something you've been meaning to fix, go work on something you've been needing to work at the same time. It also means that you have to be a shepherd to your family if you see them wasting their time. One time, when I was very young, I was very rough, I found my family watching too much TV. I took my shotgun while they were watching it, and I shot a hole in the front TV while everybody was watching it. I know that was extreme, okay?
I learned my lesson. A few years later, I found my family watching too much TV. I took a butcher knife and I cut the cord to the TV, the electric cord to the TV. I know that was too extreme, but it was better than blowing a hole in it for the shotgun. I was getting better. Then as I got older, I realized, why did I buy a TV? So I took the TV and I gave it away. Okay, alhamdulillah. It had zero worth to me, so I did not sell it. I gave it away. Then later on, TV changed and I bought a big TV monitor, but I hooked it up to the channels that I wanted. The international, because at that time now I want my children to watch TV in China. I want them to watch TV in Turkey. I want them to watch TV in the Arabic countries and things like that. So now I controlled what came on that television, that screen. And so it wasn't an enemy for me. And even still, I'll come in the room if I think that the TV is on too long, I'll just turn it off. All right, get a book. Then I said, everybody, we will have a reading hour. And I made a list. No, I didn't make a list. I put everybody made their own list. We're going to read 100 books this year. First, we started with 50. And whoever reads 50 books first gets a prize. Oh, man, these children read 50 books in 2-3 months. Of course, children's books are not as long, but they were reading them. So I had to up it to 100 because I was getting broke, you know, buying gifts. Bribing, but the result was making me feel good. So it wasn't the children anymore. It's now, am I and my wife, are we reading as well? And what are we reading? So to some degree, I let each one of us read whatever we want to read because you want to build the habit. And then you make some mandatory reading in there. So you throw a few mandatory books, but you have to make sure they get read. Okay? You are a shepherd to your family. You own that environment, okay? You direct in it, and you maintain it by the permission of Allah. And as long as you stay on top of your game, you can now, you know, garner from your family the results that you want and should want for a healthy home, okay? And you have to be healthy. Physically healthy to deal with the stress that comes with that. Okay? Sometimes men, because of our work, if our health is not right, we may not even be able to be in the mood to have sex. But our wives may need that intimacy. Okay? Their emotional range is much wider than ours, and they vibe off of that. Sometimes when I was younger, I thought sex was mainly guys. Only guys wanted. No, but the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that women are the twin sisters of men. They want to have sex too. And I believe now they want to have sex more than we do. Okay? I didn't believe that when I was younger. But we have to be healthy enough to provide them even with that part of the relationship. And you can't do that if you're not physically fit. And you can't do that when your mind is muddled with multiple affairs. So exercise helps get some of that stress off. Being organized helps putting things in your place. Getting proper rest helps you be prepared to take care of everybody's needs. And being conscious of your responsibility and your role in the stability of the household, that, you know, onus upon you should motivate you to be a better father, a better husband, a better shepherd. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. That makes total sense.
This is what you should understand. I want you to understand just from the ayah that we mentioned here. We didn't get any further than this. This is where we're going to stop. You know, and, you know, fiqh is like this. I keep saying it. It's not what people think. It's more understanding than holding down to the letter of the law. Okay? It's much more about being sincere and understanding the objective of the law. And in fact, that was the message of Isa ibn Maryam. And we are more followers of Jesus than the people who claim to be Christians in that regard. And I'm not suggesting that you guys read the Bible, but, you know, those of us who have read it, you should understand what I mean. When you read the New Testament and what Isa ibn Maryam was promoting, you find that he's promoting an Islamic mentality towards the law. And you see that the Prophet Muhammad applies it that way. Whereas the Bani Israel before Isa, before John the Baptist, during the time of Zechariah, they were on the black letter law, holding down to it to a point that, of wrongness. Okay? And that's not what we want to be. That's not the objective of the law. The objective of the law is to build character, to establish stability, homes. Because homes, families, are the basis of society. A healthy home breeds a healthy society. And it becomes generational because you raise healthy children. Does that make sense, guys?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
This is my lesson for today. And I'm not telling anybody to just go. Now, I don't want you guys to hang up the call and say, wife, you're divorced. You have Utoba said. No, Utoba. Nah, you know what I'm saying? You got something that looks strange. I'm being facetious, but you know what I'm saying? You know, one guy called me one time and cussed me out for like 5 minutes due to a lecture that I gave, and some people in this community took it and went did some stupid things, and he's like, it's your fault because they listened to you. You know, alhamdulillah. I don't think that for many of you guys. May Allah bless you all. Jazakumullah khair for the class. We'll pick it up again next class. Okay? Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. Let me stop the recording and ask you a question. Yes, sir.